This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
As America marks its 250th anniversary, we're looking back at 2.5 centuries of rebellion and liberty through the eyes of the heroes who defended it.
The whole thing about this country is freedom. If we're not careful, we could lose that.
On Medal of Honor, Stories of Courage, we bring you the defining moments of valor that went above and beyond the call of duty. Listen to Medal of Honor on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic Monday. We have many, many things we're going to get to. In fact, we'll discuss Tom Tillis, New York communism, Eric Swalwell politically in some trouble, Bill Gates is a nightmare, all that and so much more coming up in the second hour of the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. First, we're going to talk about how they're all just thieves, but even before that, you know what time it is. It is the start of Medal of Honor Monday. Hour two, start of the second hour, we take an American hero and we honor him. The email to the show for your love, your hate, your death threats is jesse@jessekellyshow.com. But you can also send in email requests from Medal of Honor recipients who are near to your heart for one reason or another. Maybe there's a family relation, or they're from your hometown, or you met them once, or just like the story. But we love the ones with a little personal note attached to it, like this one. Hey Jesse, thanks for recommending the book About Face by Colonel Hackworth. That guy's a total inspiration. If you need a citation from Medal of Honor Monday, please consider my wife's cousin, Terry Teruo Kawamura. He was in Vietnam and gave his life in 1969 to save his friends. So this is one of those ones that these ones are often very, very short. And I'll tell you, I think in the future when I do these ones, I'm going to start reading two or three because they are so short. And here's what this is. I'll give away the game a little bit. The guys who jump on a grenade or some sort of explosive to save the lives of their friends, the citation is short because the act of bravery is done in an instant. When a guy grabs a grenade launcher and a machine gun and goes and charges 10 different machine gun nests over the course of 12 hours, the citation is 2 pages long because that's how long it takes to tell his tale of bravery. But does his bravery exceed that of the man who sees the live grenade land beside his friend? And in an instant, his first reaction has to be your first because you don't have much time. His first reaction is to jump on top of it to kill himself? I would argue those levels of bravery are equal. And the reason I bring all this up is, you know, I read these. It's a passion of mine to read them. It's not just like I read them here on the air. I will occasionally, if I'm bored around the house thinking about heroes, I'll go. There's all kinds of different websites where you can go read these. And you can just start reading through them, alphabetical or by conflict or by a branch of service, whatever. You go read them. It's amazing how many of them are stories that are, he jumped on a grenade, he jumped on a grenade, he jumped on a grenade. There are a lot of them, and their names, because the citation isn't as long, they're not making a movie out of it. It'd be a short movie because the citation isn't as long. The lion doesn't get the credit the others do. So let's read it. He was 20 years old. Terry Turua Kawamura. He was born in Honolulu. It was the territory of Hawaii then, 1949, December 10th, 1949, native of Hawaii. So what did he do?
Ready, aim, fire.
Honoring those who went above and beyond. It's Medal of Honor Monday.
For conspicuous gallantry and intrepidity in action at the risk of his life above and beyond the call of duty, Corporal Kawamura distinguished himself by heroic action while serving as a member of the 173rd Engineer Company. An enemy demolition team infiltrated the unit quarters area and opened fire with automatic weapons. Disregarding the intense fire, Corporal Kawamura ran for his weapon. At that moment, a violent explosion tore a hole in the roof and stunned the occupants of the room. Corporal Kawamura jumped to his feet, secured his weapon, and, as he ran toward the door to return enemy fire, he observed that another explosive charge had been thrown through the hole in the roof to the floor. He immediately realized that two stunned fellow soldiers were in great peril and shouted a warning. Although in a position to escape, Corporal Kawamura unhesitatingly wheeled around and threw himself on the charge. In completely disregarding his safety, Corporal Kawamura prevented serious injury or death to several members of his unit. The extraordinary courage and selflessness displayed by Corporal Kawamura are in the highest traditions of military service and reflect great credit upon himself, his unit, in the U.S. Army. And that brave young man gave up his life and the rest of his life for his friends when he could have escaped. And we'll play Taps in his honor. So one story I've told you before about the Vietnamese, they were great sappers, infiltrators, essentially. They would find ways through our lines and get into our camps and do these horrible things, but it's almost guaranteed death for them. Why would they do it? We forget about the religious levels of radicalization that come in some communist circles. And the story I told you before, it was, I believe, a Green Beret camp where they came in, killed a bunch of people, and of course died in the process, because when you get in behind enemy lines, inside his lines, you're going to eventually die. And they were wearing headbands that said, "We came here to die." The sappers were wearing those. This was what our guys were dealing with in Vietnam. You can almost think of it. The similarities when you read these stories are overwhelming. Just like jihadis were, where you get some jihadi walking in with a suicide vest with a nail bomb on it or something like that. That was the level of radicalization our guys were dealing with. And these guys who would get in these camps, some of them were way away from civilization, way away from other bigger American bases where reinforcements would be there. This was part of how you lived your life when you went to bed at night, even though you were in a bunker. Like these guys were in a bunker, a fortified bunker, and clearly you can tell from the citation, the sappers had a plan. Throw a charge on the roof, blow a hole in the roof. At that point in time, you take the second one you brought along, throw it through the hole in the roof, and kill everyone inside. And I'm sure they were set up outside with their guns trained on the exit, getting ready to mow down anybody who exited. They were just radical, man. Absolutely radical. Communists are insane, radical, murderous thieves and religious zealots. And this is the kind of crap they do. And it's the kind of crap they did in Vietnam. Now, speaking of which, I played something earlier for you. Let's have a talk about communism, the mentality, what they do. I played this earlier for you, the mayor of the most powerful city in the world.
And while today's true cost of living measure confirms that the affordability crisis touches every corner of our city, we know that these effects are not applied evenly. So often, it is black and brown New Yorkers who are hit the hardest. This preliminary racial equity plan is the first step in developing a whole-of-government approach to tackling that reality. It is a plan that lays out these first steps to solve decades of neglect and discrimination, and it places the work of 45 city agencies within a singular framework.
So, what kind of people is he hiring? What are their plans?
This plan was...
Oh, sorry. I want to show her some respect. Her title is the New York City Chief Equity Officer.
This plan was born during a defining moment in our city's history, when New Yorkers were in the streets in the midst of a global pandemic, calling for justice, demanding accountability, and bearing witness to brutality unfolding on our streets and on our screens. In that moment, our city was asked to reckon with the deep systemic inequities that have long shaped life here and to do better. The release of the preliminary citywide racial equity plan is a reflection of that collective mandate. It is not just a document, it is a commitment. A commitment to confront institutional and systemic racism within our city and to begin the work of dismantling it.
Let's talk about communists, why they do what they do, where is all this going, maybe even a little brief history. Next.
Jesse Kelly returns. Next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful Monday. Remember, if you miss any part of the show, you can download it. iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. Now, before we get to making fun of Tom Tillis and everything else out there, these communists, why do they do what they do? Well, there's something that stands out, and it will stand out to you if you ever start reading about communist revolutions, what happens in the wake of the revolution. And this it really does apply to all of them. It's universal. The people who are doing the revolution are scum, low-life scum. It's very, very common. They're almost always philosophers or something like that, not business people or anybody with any real experience in something. It's not generals. It's not anybody with what you would call real-world experience. It's almost always carried out by some spoiled rich kid who majored in basket weaving or something like that. And so you have the philosopher leading the revolution, but who works for him? Who's going to help him? He can't do it alone. Well, they go scrape up the scum of society everywhere they go. It is every single time that the revolution takes place, the communist revolution, they do the same thing. They find the scum, the criminals, the people who are hated by everybody, the uniquely violent, and they recruit those people into the revolution. You know how I've told you 1,000 times that I'm a crotchety old man and I've started trying to eliminate 5 to 10% of the people from my life because they're the people who ruin everything? Those people who I am always trying to cut out of my life, those are communist recruits. That's who they go for every single time. So they bring those people in. Even if they're not true believers, they're useful soldiers in the revolution. But they don't just bring them in and have them sit around eating coffee and bagels. Once the revolution succeeds at any level, once the revolution succeeds and they have power, they then take those scumbags and they put them in the most critical positions of power in society. If I went down to the local jail, Harris County is where Houston is. If I went down to the Harris County jail, not that everyone in there is violent or scum, but I went to the most violent parts of Harris County jail. And in those violent parts of Harris County jail, I went and grabbed 20 murders, rapists, thieves, repeat offenders. I went and grabbed them. And I said, fellas, come on. You're coming out of jail. You're coming with me. We're going to have a revolution here in Houston, Texas, and we're going to take control of the city government. Now, think how big Houston is. It doesn't matter if you don't know. It's millions and millions and millions of people. And we do our revolution. And we kill enough people and persuade enough people, and we're going to give you this, and if you do what we say, or we'll pull your fingernails out, that kind of a thing. And we take over. And I win. I am now the de facto ruler of Houston, Texas. Well, my rapists, murderers, and thieves, those are my boys. So guess who's going to be running things around here now? Hey, you're going to manage this. Hey, you're in charge of that. You're in charge of that. These dirt balls who don't know anything, the losers, the scum, the violent, they are rewarded with high positions of power after the communist revolution is complete. By the way, some of them will start causing problems, and then we'll just take them out and shoot them. That's what they do. But for the others, they are rewarded. Now think for yourself, even if you don't know how to run a city. I don't know how to run a city, so don't feel bad if you don't know. Think for yourself what would happen in the city of Houston if Jesse Kelly and his 20 scumbags ran everything. How quickly would things just come apart? Things would just fall apart. This, on a smaller level, is what is happening in the United States of America. It's been happening in corporate America. It's happening in blue states. It's happening in blue cities across the country. These people don't just get elected and sit there. They get elected and they go find all their scummy friends and they steal your taxpayer money and then they hand them positions of power.
And while today's true cost of living measure confirms that the affordability crisis touches every corner of our city, we know that these effects are not applied evenly. So often it is black and brown New Yorkers who are hit the hardest. This preliminary racial equity plan is the first step in developing a whole of government approach to tackling that reality. It is a plan that lays out these first steps to solve decades of neglect and discrimination. And it places the work of...
Remember that lesbian they put in charge of the New York Fire Department? The one who'd never been a firefighter before? And everyone started yelling about that, but she's never even been a firefighter! That wasn't what they were looking for. You see, she's an ally. The new head of the New York Fire Department.
Lillian Bonsignor is a career first responder. In just 9 days, she'll be running the world's busiest fire department, one of the most important appointments of the incoming administration. Although she never served as a firefighter, she's confident that won't matter.
I know the job. I know what the firefighters need, and I can translate that to this administration who's willing to listen. I know what EMS needs. I have been EMS for 30 plus years.
Bonsignor is a trailblazer for the LGBTQ community who will serve as the FDNY's...
There it is. An ally, you see. Now, what happens from here? Well, that's the ugly part. And why should you care? Jesse, I'm not in New York. I will explain why you should care. Then we'll do some emails. Before I explain that, let me explain that identity theft is a big, big crime now. Organized crime across the globe. They basically all have divisions now dedicated to stealing your identity. Well, you're just a normal person. What do they care about your social security number for? Why do they want your name and address? It's a multi-billion-dollar industry because they're going to take loans out in your name and they're going to drain your bank account and you'll have no idea until it's too late. Unless, of course, you get LifeLock. LifeLock monitors all these things for you. So if there's a problem, LifeLock lets you know. If they happen to get you, God forbid, well, LifeLock's U.S.-based restoration specialists will fix it, guaranteed. Either that or you can spend years trying to fix it yourself. Join now. You save up to 40% off your first year with the promo code Jesse. 1-800-LIFELOCK, promo code Jesse, or LifeLock.com. Promo code Jesse. Terms apply. We'll be back.
He doesn't care if you believe him, but he's right. Jesse Kelly.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
2026 marks the 250th anniversary of America. The soul of this country is found in the stories of those who defended it. I'm J.R. Martinez, a U.S. Army veteran. I know that true valor isn't just a word. It's a choice made in a split second. That's why I'm honored to bring you a brand new season of Medal of Honor, Stories of Courage from Pushkin Industries and iHeart Podcast. You'll fly into the heart of a rescue mission with Air Force pilot James Fleming in Vietnam.
I'm going to put you out in the middle of hell. If you have to come home, I'll bring you home. That's my duty. It's my honor.
We'll also travel back to 1926 to witness Richard Byrd's historic flight over the North Pole. These are more than just stories of combat. They are testaments to leadership, community, and the human spirit. Listen to Medal of Honor on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Monday. Remember, you can email the show your love, your hate, your death threats, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. We'll finish up our talk here, and that'll lead us right into commies being dirty thieves. We'll do some emails. I will get to Trump. He gave a press conference on Iran today, said a few things which we can touch on, but I want to go back to what I was saying before about these places in the country under complete communist rule. We'll talk about California under communist rule. San Francisco under communist rule. Headline, San Francisco becomes the first U.S. city where diesel prices top $8 a gallon. Where everyone's talking about New York City right now, Mamdani, but the people who don't live there, they'll say things like, well, it's not my problem. It's not my problem. I don't live there. I don't care. I'm not buying diesel in San Francisco. I'm not trying to rent an apartment in New York City. Why should I care? Well, how do these cities and states, how is it possible they can destroy their economies as fast as they do and still exist? How's that possible? New York can't print money. Headline, New York City can't afford both big pensions and free buses. And of course they can't. How are they doing it then? California can't print money. They don't have a printing press. How do they do it then? How's it possible? Here's how it's possible. New York City, they will lose a fortune. They will go deep into debt. And then New York State will give them a bunch of money to bail them out. But how can New York State do that? They also have this huge deficit. They're taking on debt. How can they do that? New York State bails out New York City and then turns around to you, to the federal treasury, and says, hey, Medicare, we got a lot of Medicare expenses and Medicaid. Look, we need $200 million. Can we get $200 million from you? Same thing across the country. How can California survive? How is it possible? Well, they just steal from you. That's why it can and should matter to you that places in the United States of America are under communist control. And this is why we have headlines like this. National debt is over 4 times greater than is being reported. We have a gargantuan amount of debt in this country. We continue to allow communist areas of control in the country. They are stealing from it. They are looting it as fast as they possibly can. And that bill is going to come due. Now, speaking of stealing from it, It just goes along the lines of everything we've been talking about. In the end, they're all just thieves. Communists are just thieves. And I talked about the scumbags they recruit. It's wild how often they're thieves. They'll recruit not a committed communist, a thief. Someone who steals for a living. Hey, would you like to join the Communist Party? You're perfect for what I'm looking for. They just steal everything all the time. They're always stealing everything. This isn't even a headline. This is a social media post from Elizabeth Warren, United States Senator. Jeff Bezos has $222 billion. If he paid my wealth tax this year, we could fund insulin in America for everyone who needs it, plus free school lunch for every kid in Texas, and have plenty of money left over. Elizabeth Warren looks at a really rich guy, and the solution is quite simple. I should take what he has. That should be mine. I should take it. It's how they think. This is an older one. Here's Joy Ann Reid. Listen to how they think. Listen to the thought process. In the end, they're all just thieves.
But if you go back before the 20th century, there were no income taxes. There were no regulations on business. You could earn as much money as you want, leave 100% of it to your children with no taxes.
Right.
That's the world they want back. And to get it back, they need society to change.
These people used to just leave all their money to their kids and they didn't let us steal any of it? They used to earn a living and we couldn't steal any of it? Can you believe they want to go back to that? They're all just dirty thieves. And you really see it in the blue-controlled areas of the country where they have all these programs. There's all these programs. In Los Angeles, you should go look at the billions that has been dedicated to Los Angeles homeless programs. Wow, with that much money, that homeless problem's probably been cleaned up, right? Let's check in on that from the local news.
This is bad, and the area isn't safe either. We actually had to drive a few miles away just for safety reasons for this live shot. But the things we saw, we won't forget. An up-close, exclusive look underground at living conditions too extreme for words. It's hard to imagine someone living in there. Trash, human waste, and an overpowering stench.
I got it. Get back.
Just moments earlier, we watched someone climb out of that storm drain using the sewer as shelter.
They're living in the storm drains in Los Angeles. So, I don't understand. All this money for all these homeless programs. How could anyone be living in the sewers, in tents, in the streets? Well, they just stole all the money. They're just thieves. They're always just thieves. Remember the Palisades fire? Palisades fire burns down all these homes. They put on I believe it was $100 million. I might have that wrong, but I think I'm right. They put on a charity concert and raised $100 million for the Palisades fire. Yeah, they just took it all. They couldn't get, they're not handing out any money to the people who were actually victims of it. No, what do you mean? They're just thieves in the end. Here's Ayanna Pressley.
Eviction is an act of violence, and we have to do everything to prevent it. It is devastating for the families. It degrades the health of communities. There is great stigma associated with it. It affects your credit score. Housing is a human right. It is a predictor of health outcomes. It's essential for social and economic mobility. And so many people, when they receive a notice to quit or to vacate their homes, usually because of non-payment, because wages are not keeping pace with inflation, they don't know their rights. And a lot of times they will just...
They'll look at your apartment and they'll think, I should have that. I should steal that. They're just horrible people. And I'll continue to circle back to this. This is why I am so desperate to make sure these people do not come back to power. They will do worse the next time. I promise you. Cross my heart. Hope to die. As bad as the Biden administration was, as sick and evil and tyrannical as the Biden administration was, they will do worse the next time.
because they always do. Not a single Democrat in the country, elected or your liberal Aunt Peggy, had a come to Jesus meeting with themselves after last time and said, we went too far, that was bad, that was wrong, we shouldn't. Not one. Nobody has ever named me one. Even a made-up story. Hey, Jesse, my sister's... None. Zero. The number stands at zero. Zero Democrats in this country think they did anything wrong under Joe Biden. Well, some of them think they didn't go far enough. They'll do worse next time. All right, we'll do some emails next.
Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. If you miss any part of the show, you can download it. iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. Hey, Bronco, I was thinking about the current polling. If asked the questions on Iran and the economy, I would be answering the same way to give us negative polling, but I'll be voting Republican regardless. I get it that I'm in the camp of anti-commie, but could this be possible with independents as well? No. I appreciate that you would deviously try to fool the pollsters, and I applaud that. But no, remember what independents really are. Independents are people who don't pay attention. And if you're one of the, and I don't mean a politically involved independent. Maybe you got mad at the GOP and you registered independent. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the swing voter who votes Democrat one cycle, then Republican the next, then Democrat the next, then Republican. It's not, I'm not talking about necessarily about registered independents. When I bring that up, that's not what I'm discussing. I'm talking about the swing voter. Because you know, you understand how it works. There's a certain percentage of the country that is going to vote Republican no matter what. That's probably you. I'll tell you, that's me. I don't apologize for it. They're the lesser of two evils. That's who I'm voting for. And there's a certain percentage of the country that'll vote Democrat no matter what. Well, the politicians, it's not that they don't worry about those people, because those people are your workers. You know, they need you working. They need you spreading the message, dragging people to the polls, donating, things like that. Those people matter. They're the ones who make it go, but they're not the ones who actually decide elections. Frustratingly, because of our ridiculous voting system in this country, the people who decide elections are the ones who don't pay attention. Now, pause for a moment. Remember, it's not supposed to work that way. You are supposed to have achieved X, Y, and Z before you're allowed to vote in the elections of our country. That's how the founders wanted it. Property owner, whatever it may be, you had to achieve X, Y, and Z. And if you do that, you stop getting swing voters. Remember, Rhodesia wasn't glorious and wonderful for no reason. They had one of those systems. You had to have X, Y, and Z and work great. Country worked great because you had your cream of the crop choosing who led the country. But as soon as you degrade your system to where ours is, where anyone who lives to the age of 18 can choose who the next president is, then you develop a system where we have now, the one we have now, where it's just, well, I'll vote Obama and then Trump and then Biden and then Trump. And I don't know. They're people who don't pay attention. When you're dealing with people who don't pay attention, their own specific quality of life needs to become something you make a priority at all times with your language. All times. When they are polled, they are angry. Like, we'll talk about Iran next hour. I'll talk about Trump's press conference. I was going to avoid it, but I'm going to address. Oh, we'll talk about what he said and where we're going tomorrow night and what may come or what may not come. But before we get to that, when it comes to Iran, it's not that the uninformed voter has something specific against the war itself. He may or may not. It's that the uninformed voter can't afford gas. So anything you're talking about that doesn't have to do with that, he is going to dislike. You see, it's not that he has specific policy disagreements about the Ukraine or border policy or Iran or something like that. He cares about himself. He votes every single time based on himself.
And that's why he wildly swings back and forth all the time. I saw a poll today, to make my point. I saw a poll today in Virginia. Now, remember, Virginia had this dirtball Democrat governor. He made everything worse. Virginia goes out and votes in Glenn Youngkin. Glenn Youngkin, by almost every measure, made life better for people who live in Virginia. Life was more affordable. He ran things well. Whether you liked Glenn Youngkin or not, he did it better, much better than the Democrat did. Then, wait, what? They went out and voted in another Democrat? And now, this was November. They voted in another Democrat. She's only been there for 3 months. 80% of Virginians wish she wasn't the governor. They're unhappy. You just voted for her. What do you mean you're unhappy? What? Well, this is the problem. I only want you to vote. Sorry. Not to patronize you. I only want informed people to vote. I want people who care enough to dedicate a portion of their day to being informed about the issues, even if you and I don't agree on something, on a politician, on a policy or something, whatever. You care enough to pay attention. I only want you to vote. If only you voted, we'd be better off. But that ain't the system we have. The system we have, the people who decide elections went out and voted for Terry McAuliffe to be governor of Virginia and then got mad at him, so they went out and voted for Glenn Youngkin to be governor of Virginia. And then the next election, they went out and they voted for Abigail Spanberger to be governor of Virginia. And you and me, as we sit here paying attention, we want to reach out and just choke these people and say, what are you doing? All they know is the 2 inches in front of their face. That's the extent to which they pay attention. They're not interested in politics. In power is really what we're talking about. They're not interested in politics. They're not interested in who actually holds the levers in this country. All they know is, well, couldn't afford gas, voted for the other guy. Up, can't afford gas, voting for the other guy. Up, can't afford this, voting for the other guy. So because of that, as I have expressed time and time again, given the recent inflation, if you want to win office in this country and keep it and keep your popularity, when the American people hear you talk, they need to hear you talking about them, caring about them. You're struggling. I'm working on it. You're struggling. I'm working on it. I know you can't afford this. I'm working on it. We're going to make that better. I'm working on that. That's what the people who decide elections need to hear. That's what we brought up again and again and again and again and again. And look, Democrats have figured it out.
We see a war that continues to escalate. More than a dozen countries are involved, and billions of dollars of taxpayer money are being spent overseas when this administration refuses to actually spend a dime to make life more affordable for the American people.
Now, he's a dirtball. He's a liar. He would do this exact same spending. Every bad thing you can say about him is correct. That's a lie. All that stuff is true. But does that sound like a man who's done the poll numbers? Does that sound like a man who knows what I just told you is true? And they're going to run on that in the midterms. Look at you, Republicans, sending your money overseas while you can't get a job. Are they liars? Sure. Are they going to do worse? You bet. But that's what they're going to do. All right, we'll touch on this Iran press conference, do some other things before we talk about that. I think I'm going to get more and more radical when it comes to hiring Americans. I've decided to become even worse. I am so tired of the jobs reports like the one I read you earlier about foreigners getting jobs by the hundreds of thousands. Americans can't find work. I'm going to talk even louder about companies like PureTalk who hire Americans. You know how much money PureTalk could save? Boy, it'd be really good for that bottom line. There's a call center in India begging for you. PureTalk said, no, I'm not interested. This is for Americans, American jobs, American workers. When you change your cell phone plan from Verizon, AT&T, or T-Mobile, when you pick up that phone and you dial #250 and say Jesse Kelly, I'll guarantee you this, you're going to talk to an American who speaks English. That's my cell phone company. Oh, and they'll save you money. Dial #250 and say Jesse Kelly. Hire American and patronize companies who do. We still have an hour. Hang on.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty? Getty on demand.
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
As America marks its 250th anniversary, we're looking back at 2.5 centuries of rebellion and liberty through the eyes of the heroes who defended it.
The whole thing about this country is freedom. If we're not careful, we could lose that.
On Medal of Honor, Stories of Courage, we bring you the defining moments of valor that went above and beyond the call of duty. Listen to Medal of Honor on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.